five wonderful words. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. They're taken from Jude verse 20, and we did touch on them last week, but I want us to come back to them tonight. These five important words. There are verses in the Bible with just five words, and we know them very well. You think about Psalm 23 verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." Or Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, "Salvation is of the Lord." You could learn them on your hand, the five fingers of your hand. "The Lord is my shepherd. Salvation's of the Lord." Well, here's another verse, a phrase from verse 20 of Jude. And this is equally important. Dare I say it tonight, but this verse on the screen tonight is just as important as "The Lord is my shepherd," or "Salvation is of the Lord," or any other five-word verse that you care to mention. So we're going to think about these five words tonight. This expression, praying in the Holy Ghost, does not refer to speaking in tongues. I want to just make that clear from the very beginning. This phrase, praying in the Holy Ghost, sometimes is mistakenly understood to be referring to tongues, speaking in tongues. Well, it's not. That's not what it refers to. And you know my convictions and my beliefs about the doctrine of tongues, but we don't have time to get into that tonight. Maybe we'll take a Thursday night or a Sunday to preach on the subject of so-called speaking in tongues. It was Lord Tennyson who said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. And we've been thinking previously on the Thursday night about the apostates and the false teachers who were infiltrating the churches 2,000 years ago. And so Jude, he rings the alarm bell. He wants to blow the trumpet to waken up the churches. The churches have fallen asleep, and these men have come in, wolves who want to destroy the flock. We could call them secret agents, the devil's secret agents. And it tells us in verse 4 about these secret agents. "There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So, how do you deal with these people? How do you respond to these secret agents that Satan has sent into the church? Well, the answer's in front of you tonight. You've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Friends, we need to recognize tonight that this battle will only be won in the place of prayer. I can stand up, and other men can stand up and preach against cults and falsehoods and deceptions that are out there. And my, there's many of them out there, and there's more of them nearly every day. You're hearing about new groups that are springing up. We could stand and preach about them and seek to expose them logically and to tell people why they shouldn't go to these places and the danger of these men. Some of these men have got American accents. Some of them have English accents. And sometimes people can be deceived, and just because they hear this unusual foreign accent, they almost, you could say, fall for the person. And they almost, it's kind of like swooning, this American accent, English accent, Australian accent, whatever accent it is, this almost seems to put them, these people into a trance. Well, whatever the accent is, We need to be alert. We need to be on our guard in these days. And we need to know how to respond to these people, to the apostates. We've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, you're asking the question tonight, what does that mean? What does it mean when Jude's urged the Christians here to be praying in the Holy Ghost? Well, that's what we want to think about for the remainder of our Bible study tonight. I believe that Jude is first of all speaking about access. Access. We need to understand that it's only through the Holy Spirit that we have access into God's presence. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." The only way that we can come before the Father in prayer tonight in this prayer meeting is if the Holy Spirit leads us into the Father's presence. The Holy Spirit is like a servant, we could say. You know how the Queen, and we're thinking about the Queen, Her Majesty today, a lot of coverage on the news media about her 90th birthday, but you can't just walk into Buckingham Palace or Balmoral and see the Queen. You have got to go through her personal secretary, her private secretary. And that individual, that servant, will usher you in before Her Majesty at the appointed time. Friends, the Holy Spirit ushers us into the presence of not an earthly monarch, but the King of Kings. It's by him that we enter into God's presence. Now, I didn't say through him. It's not through the Holy Spirit that we can come into the presence of God, because it's only through Christ that we can come. He's the mediator. So we come to the Father in prayer through Christ, but by the Spirit. Can you see the difference? It's through the Savior. It's through his finished work on Calvary. It's through his shed blood that we can come into God's presence. But we come by the Spirit. If I can use another analogy, Christ is the door. The Lord Jesus is the door into the Father's presence. The Holy Spirit's the key to open that door. Alright? The Spirit is like the key. Christ, the door. The Holy Ghost, the key. And the Holy Spirit, he reveals to us what Christ has done. And he directs us away from ourselves. He directs us to our Redeemer, to his shed blood. And he brings us that way into the Father's holy presence. So we have access, thank God, tonight by the Holy Ghost. You know, it's a lovely thought here just to think that the Trinity is involved in prayer. Whether it's private prayer at home or here tonight in the prayer meeting, isn't it amazing that the three persons of the Godhead are all involved in this great ministry, the ministry of prayer? You've got the Father who is waiting for us to come before him. We are his children. We are the children of the King. So the Father waits for us to come. And he welcomes us into his presence tonight. But then you've got Christ who has made the great sacrifice. The Lord Jesus has paid the price in order that we could come into the Holy of Holies. And then the lovely Holy Spirit comes to us and he leads us into the Father's presence. It's just as if the Holy Spirit takes us by the hand. Through the door, Christ is the door, I am the door, the Savior said, and it's through that door we walk, But the Holy Spirit takes us by the hand. He's our comforter. He's our friend. He's our helper. And hand in hand, we enter into the presence of God. No prayer is made by man alone. The Holy Spirit pleads, and Jesus on the eternal throne for sinners intercedes. So we have access tonight. I believe that as Jude was writing down these words, the thought was in his mind about the access. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we have this access. And I believe that thought was in the mind of Jude as he wrote these words, praying in the Holy Ghost. We have access by him. It's a bit like, you know, the doctor in the hospital, he's got his wee swipe card. And he comes to the door of the ward and he swipes at the scanner. And the door opens for the doctor, for the surgeon. You or me don't have the swipe card, because the card's only for a select few. There's only certain people who have it. There's other times you get it in banks there. You've seen it in the bank. Some of the employees in the bank, when they want to go in behind where the cash is, where the valuables are, there's a door and there's the code. I have to enter the code before the door will open for them. That's what it's like in prayer. We only have access into the Holy of Holies, God's throne of grace, his holy presence, by the Holy Spirit. It's just as if we're coming to the door of God's presence and we don't know the code, but the Holy Spirit knows the code. And you know what the code is? Christ. C-H-R-I-S-T. That's the password into God's presence. And the Holy Spirit enters the code for us. And he leads us right into the throne of God. Aren't you glad tonight that you've got access into the presence of God? Whatever kind of a day you've had, you don't have to stand up and tell me about the kind of day you've had, but you know about it, and more importantly, the Lord knows about it. But that's irrelevant, because you have access by the Holy Spirit. You have access through Christ, the door. And it's wonderful to have this access tonight. And we have it every Thursday night, and we have it when we go to our homes. And if you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you've been tossing and turning all night, you can't sleep. The Holy Spirit can take you by the hand into God's presence. You can talk to your Heavenly Father. I believe that these are the things that were in the mind of Jude when he spoke about praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, access. Just another thought to leave with you tonight as we get down to prayer. Assistance. We need the assistance of the Holy Ghost. In other words, we need his help. We need his aid. If we're to be able to pray in such a way that we get through to God tonight, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because Romans chapter 8 verse 26 tells us, "The Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." The Holy Spirit assists us in prayer. Because we have infirmities. In other words, what that word really means is weaknesses. We're physically weak. We are mentally weak. We are spiritually weak. And so we need the Holy Spirit to help us in this supernatural battle. Because we are wrestling against flesh and blood. I should say, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and we cannot do it in the power of the flesh. We cannot do it in our own strength. So I pray that as you get down to prayer tonight, that the Holy Spirit will help your infirmities. And he says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. If the Holy Spirit doesn't guide us, we could go off into a tangent and start praying for all the wee Mickey Mouse issues that are not really important in the great scheme of things. We need his guidance. Friends, the Holy Spirit shows to us our need and our emptiness. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to a Christian and puff them up with pride and bring them into God's presence full of themselves. No, the Holy Spirit works upon us as believers to make us broken in spirit, contrite and humble, so that we realize how weak and how feeble and how sinful we are. That's his work. The Holy Spirit humbles the child of God. And when we are humbled, right down in the dust before the Lord, realizing that apart from his grace and apart from Christ we are nothing, then we are a candidate to enter into the Father's presence. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, reminds us of the promises of God. John chapter 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The Lord Jesus was in the upper room and he was saying to the disciples, the Holy Spirit is going to help you remember what I've said. Because you're going to forget. And we all forget. And you know how you find it even in prayer that you forget the promises. Oh, what was that verse? What was that promise? The Holy Spirit is the one who helps you to remember it. He reminds us of the promises of God. The exceeding great and precious promises. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to bring the check to the bank. Because the promises of God are like the check. And you see, the check's no good in your pocket. It's nice to have it in the pocket. But you've got to cash the check. You've got to lodge the check before it's of any use to you. And you know, the promises of God, they're like the checks. And the Holy Spirit, he enables us to bring those to the bank of heaven. And we can reap the rewards of them. It's always good to remind the Lord, not that he forgets, he doesn't forget, but just to bring his promises before him. He loves when his children do that. So the Holy Spirit has this lovely ministry in prayer of reminding us of the Saviour's promises and indeed of all the promises throughout Scripture. He reminds us of the promises, but then I want you to notice something else here. He reminds us of the priorities. The priorities. John chapter 16, the Saviour said, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. If I can use the term reverently, the Holy Spirit is our GPS system. When it comes to spiritual matters, he's our sat nav, as it were, to guide us in this journey along the narrow way. He will guide you into all truth. And he guides us regarding the priorities in the place of prayer. What do I mean by priorities? Well, simply this. What does the Lord want us to pray about tonight? What's right up at the top of his list? I didn't say what's at the top of our list. What's at the top of his list tonight? What would he have us pray about tonight? Or who would he have us pray for tonight? Well, I believe Scripture teaches that we are to give priority to the spiritual over the physical. Now, I hope you got that. Let it sink in. When we come to a prayer meeting, indeed, in our own private times of prayer, we are to focus on the spiritual needs more than the physical. Now, I didn't say that we don't focus on the physical. I did not say, and please don't go away and tell people that the pastor said we shouldn't pray for the physical and we shouldn't pray for healing, but we should give priority to the spiritual. In other words, before we pray for someone to be healed, we should pray for someone to be saved. Okay? Before we pray for physical healing, we need to pray for spiritual healing. We need to give priority to the eternal over the temporal. This is the priorities in the place of prayer. We all want people who are ill to be healed. My heart always goes out to folk who are battling with disease and conditions and sicknesses on a daily basis. My heart honestly goes out to them, and I pray that the Lord will touch them and restore them and raise them up. But if that's all I pray about, there's something radically wrong. Because friends, at the end of the day, what use is it if a person is healthy physically, but they go to hell and they're damned forever? A healthy body will be no use to them, no good to them then. Oh, the spiritual is always more important than the physical. As we get down to prayer tonight, I want us... Maybe I don't need to remind you, maybe I don't need to say this tonight, but I want us to focus on the spiritual. Souls that need to be saved. The souls who were in God's house last Sunday. The souls all around us in new buildings who are perishing. The souls right across the land tonight, and they're hanging over the pit of hell, and there's only a thread holding them from dropping into hell. Now we need to pray for them. And so the lovely Holy Spirit, he's the one who was in Christ when he gave his life on Calvary, when he shed his blood. The Holy Spirit was there in the Saviour, and the Saviour offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. And it was all so that sinners could be saved. Despite the heresy that's around today, that Christ died, that we could be healthy. It's a heresy. Don't believe it. The Lord Jesus gave his life so that souls could be saved from sin. The reason he died was a spiritual reason, not a physical reason. It was for a spiritual healing, not a physical healing. And the lovely Holy Spirit comes to us tonight to remind us of this priority in the place of prayer. We're going to turn to 518, number 518. It's another hymn that relates to the subject of prayer. This hymn, of course, has been sung down through the years since it was written. But there was a very special, a very, very remarkable occasion when this hymn was sung. It was sung by four American missionaries and their wives in the year 1857 in the land of India. You say, well, what's so important about that? What's so important about those missionaries? Well, they were just about to be martyred for the cause of Christ. Those missionaries, their wives, their children were just about to die because of their service for Christ. There was a tribe that surrounded them, took them captive, And they, just before they were martyred for the faith, they started to sing this hymn. 518. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat, 'tis found beneath the mercy seat. We'll stand to sing, please, 518.